Good morning. You're listening to The Beacon. Everyone, I'm Lainey Kleeman, here with my friend and co-host. What's your name again?
I'm not sure. No, of course I'm sure. It's Brian Hawkins.
And we are back with you for our very first show of 2018. Are you excited?
Yeah. I was just thinking the other day, there's everything that we do for the first few days is the first time we do it this year.
It so is. How very deeply philosophical of you.
Nothing but time on my ass.
Right. You're nothing if not philosophical.
Right.
How was your New Year's?
It was very good.
Good.
Yes, I didn't go anywhere, obviously, because it was so cold. So I had a chance to stay home and watch a lot of the New Year's Eve broadcasts. There was the national broadcast, Ryan Seacrest, and then Steve Harvey. But then there were the local broadcasts as well. And a couple of the stations really outdid themselves.
Did they?
Yes, and there was a pretty amazing-looking brooch on one of the hosts. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Wow, that's very mysterious.
Yes, well, people who saw it know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I may have to just go and Google it because I did not see it.
Yes, but yes, it was pretty good. And I followed my own traditions. Usually I watch Marx Brothers movie and also a Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie.
Cool. And so you did that. Do you do that on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Eve.
Not Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
New Year's Eve.
You didn't even catch it.
No, I didn't. Christmas Eve is, it's a wonderful life. How about yourself?
I love
yours?
Those traditions. That's nice. You know, it's funny because last week you talked about the first meal of the new year being black eyed peas. And I was like, oh, I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. After you mentioned that, I couldn't read enough about, like, it was everywhere about the like the New Year's tradition of eating black eyed peas. And I think it was collard greens. And
well, I have that effect. Yes.
See that? Yes, you do. It was everywhere. Did you follow that tradition as well?
Yes.
Good.
I did.
Good luck for the whole year now.
Yeah.
It's so guaranteed.
Everything's all set up.
Everything's set up. Everything's set up for a good, like, new year. You followed all the traditions. You ate the right food. So it's a guarantee it's going to be a good year.
That's exactly
I'm
right.
I'm holding you to it.
Okay.
Mine was fine. Like, so quiet. I had my son, who's five, so... You know, we went to Legoland and did the 6 p.m. balloon drop, which he could not have cared less about. Although the kid has... So, my...
6 p.m.?
6 p.m. He's five. So, they do a 6 p.m. balloon drop for the little ones.
Half the day.
Yes, exactly. Although, he's got the right idea because he didn't care about the balloon. Like, wanted nothing to do with balloon drop. Was, like, totally over it. But while all the kids are, like, hoarded in the balloon room, he's going on all the rides, like, without any line. So it's like going to the electrical parade at Disney. Instead of going to the electrical parade, you just go, like, on the roller coasters over and over again because everybody is otherwise preoccupied with the parade.
Mm-hmm.
Same concept here at Legoland. Kids are preoccupied with the balloon drop, so he, like, took advantage of no lines and just kept going on rides. So I give him credit for being innovative with his, like, approach, but could not have cared less about the balloon drop. So we were literally in bed by 10:15. I just couldn't get psyched about staying up until midnight, and he really had no interest in it either. So we were in bed by 10:15. This is like my life. This is life right now, you know?
Well, yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. We almost made it to East Coast New Year. I think this was the first year in many that I didn't make it to East Coast New Year, but... You know, it's one way or the other for me, whatevs.
Like, 45 minutes.
45 minutes. And then my daughter did call at midnight. She was at a friend's. She did call at midnight to wish me Happy New Year. So I was actually awake at the stroke of midnight talking to her. So I credit her for actually, you know, ushering me into the new year. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it myself.
Oh, okay.
But it was fine. I mean, no complaints. It just was kind of another night. But, you know, now clean slate, ready to go.
Now, I was wondering... there's something that popped in my mind just now. Glad I remembered it. I was going to ask you about it. Since you're into the yoga and everything like that, have you ever heard of goat yoga? Is that a real thing?
Yes, it's a real thing. There is everything yoga. I have to tell you, there's goat yoga, there's beer yoga, there's wine yoga, there's naked yoga.
Back up. Beer yoga?
Yeah, you drink while you practice, while you do your practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I might be able to handle that.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I could. Like, the balancing and everything, I'd fall right over.
I used to play softball and drink beer, so.
That's kind of a thing that you do, but you're not balancing on, like, one toe in softball the way that you do in yoga. Not one toe. It's a bit of an exaggeration. But
I imagine if you exert yourself, then that would sort of take away the effect of the alcohol.
You're probably sweating it out. That's a good point. Maybe it cancels each other out. There's you intake and then you sweat it out. So there's not really any. Can you imagine a room? Like, you know how after you have a night of drinking and then you kind of sweat it out the next day, like, it reeks of alcohol. Like, can you imagine being in a room of yogis that are drinking and then excreting the alcohol? That just doesn't sound appealing to me.
Now I can.
Yeah, right? Are you happy I painted that picture for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but goat yoga is a thing.
Would a goat actually climb? I saw this on a commercial, by the way. Would a goat actually climb on your back?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's up to the goat, right?
That's what happens in the commercial.
What commercial was it for?
I don't remember the product.
That's so funny.
I do remember goat yoga.
There's a thing. I think, actually, I want to say Lamb's Farm up in Lake County has goat yoga. I have a friend of mine who posted something on Facebook and was like, who wants to do this with me? And I was like, I'm game to do that. But they just kind of let, my understanding of it is they let little miniature goats, like, loose in the yoga room, and then they just sort of hang out while you practice. I have no idea. I mean, and I assume they would jump on you because that's kind of what goats do, right? So it's a thing. I mean,
wow. You
know, anything you can think of becomes a thing these days.
I see.
Yeah. So
that's what 2018 brings us.
2018 brings us goat yoga. If I ever do take her up on her offer to practice goat yoga, I will certainly report back and let you know how it goes.
All right. Okay.
Cool.
That's cool.
Well, I guess we should get into it.
Yes, let's do that. This Saturday it's sort of warming up a little bit.
In the 30s.
So,
I actually talked to my mom earlier this week because it's been so frigid, and she was like, are you guys surviving the cold? Because she's, of course, in California. And I was like, yeah, it's going to actually warm up to like 30 this weekend. And she was laughing at me so hard because in California, 30 is like, that is what we've been having for the last, I mean, it's like our negative temps is their 30s. So it's just funny. So I'll get outside and like finally take the Christmas decorations down probably.
Yeah, so of course, beware, snow is probably on the way.
Yeah, right.
But and not to interrupt you, you were about to get into the rundown.
Oh, yeah, we are talking to, and I am actually very excited about this, Legally Blind actor Jay Worthington performing in Harbor Gate. It's three plays about three women in the Turkish-Iraqi border combat zone, and they're all linked by a single incident.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds fascinating. I'm excited to hear what he has to say about that. And we're also talking to Ann Filmer, who is the artistic director at 16th Street Theater, and she'll be discussing the performance.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also hear from Sandy and Brett. And, of course, anxiously anticipating the awe factor.
It's kind of a funny one today. It actually made me laugh more than anything.
Oh, okay. Well,
maybe because I could resonate with it. Maybe that's why. Maybe I'm the only one who find this story humorous, but we'll see. We're going to go with it and see what happens.
Okay. And then we've got Luke and Juan in the laboratory, as always, and all those things. So come on back, everybody, and listen to this first interview. I think you'll find it interesting. This is The Beacon on WCPT 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like, they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. Every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Lighthouse Beacon. You know, right now the weather here in Chicago is it's very cold out there. A lot of us don't want to do a lot of stuff outside. So, you know, if you are looking for something nice to do and watch, there's always the theater. There's many performances around in Chicago. And here to talk about a new performance that is being held at the 16th Street Theater here in Chicago are Ann Filmer, who's the artistic director at 16th Street Theater, and Jay Worthington, who is an actor also here in the Chicagoland area. And they're here to talk about a new play about veterans dealing with PTSD, a very, very important subject. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sandy, for having us.
Great.
Even though it's cold, we made it here.
You made it here. You survived the commute.
And we always say that, I like to say in the theater, that actually bad weather is good for theater.
That's it.
There you go.
You know, so I nailed it right on.
You did. Come and get cozy and sit next to strangers in the dark and
That's
see a good
it.
Play.
It's perfect.
And watch a show about PTSD.
That's it. So, Anne, can you tell us a little bit about the background of
the
play?
Sure. The play is called Harbor Gate, and it's by Kathleen Cahill, who's actually a Salt Lake City playwright. And the play actually consists of three interconnected stories. It's actually about females in the combat zone. So each play, in the first play, there are two Army medics, and they are applying for the Purple Heart, because you actually do need to apply yourself for the Purple Heart.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either until we started working on this.
Huh.
And then the second piece is called Harbor Gate, and that is actually in a truck convoy on the way to Mosul in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of a battle of the sexes between two Marines, a female and a male. And then the third piece that Jay plays John in the third piece. Mm-hmm. And in that, Michelle, who's a recent veteran, which you find out has PTSD, she meets Jay's character, John, mm-hmm. Who is a blind painter in the park.
So, in other words, it's three stories mm-hmm. combined.
They are. It's three stories, and they can stand alone, but by the end of the third piece, you find out the secret, because there is one incident that connects all three plays and all the characters in the play, and so it's very transformative when you find out how they're all connected.
And you know, you're talking about Jay's character John, who is a character with blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Jay, I know that first of all, you yourself have some vision loss.
I do, yeah. I was born almost completely blind and with a pretty rare visual condition called ocular albinism. Mm-hmm. And I started to gain sight as I grew older. By the time I was a toddler, I could see in shadows, and it got better and better until adolescence. And at this point, I am legally blind in my left eye and slightly above legal blindness in my right eye.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the ocular albinism is still there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, definitely. So, you know, I'm assuming that you're familiar with, you know, obviously having vision loss yourself, you're mm-hmm. maybe familiar with some of the tools that individuals with vision loss use to cope, you know, with their disability.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been pretty fortunate in that I've somehow miraculously found a way to sort of navigate my life without much assistive technology. Much to the surprise and befuddlement of many eye doctors that have worked with me in my life, but yes, I am familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, John, you know, your character, he's completely blind.
He is, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you've, well, what have you learned, you know, now that you're playing a completely blind character?
You know, it's interesting. This is actually the third role I've done in the theater playing a blind character, mm-hmm. and they've sort of all been really different experiences. And I think you know, something I find interesting about vision loss, a question I've always sort of had about my own vision loss, and even more so about complete vision loss, is what happens to one's sense of self. Mm-hmm. When one can no longer see oneself. And I think for a number of people, I think the sort of sense of identity, which in itself is sort of a construct, right, mm-hmm. Begins to diminish. And I think when you start to feel that diminishment of identity, you start to ask yourself these questions of sort of, well who am I really? Mm. Is my identity just a work of fiction? I think it can bring you closer to this sense of like, well, is Jay Worthington even real? Mm-hmm. Is he any more real than these roles that I'm playing?
Sure.
And so I think every time I've explored blindness on stage, and in my own life for that matter, I think there's something that I continue to uncover is sort of how malleable and infinite we really are as people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's yeah.
Very fascinating. And you know, in real life, you're talking about the fact that you don't use this much assistive technology or anything. But, for example, in this play, you were using a cane.
Yeah.
You know, so how is that experience?
It's, you know, this is the second time in a play that I've used a cane.
Sure.
And it's really incredible. It's astonishing to me. Even using a cane on stage for the duration of a production run, working with complete blindness, because that's a sort of stipulation I have when doing a role like this is, what are we really representing unless I make myself completely blind, mm-hmm. to play a blind role? When you do that, sort of finding out how much that cane becomes a sonar device.
Mm-hmm.
How much that cane becomes this radar. And once I've found myself working as an actor, when I find myself sort of forming this very symbiotic relationship between myself and the cane becoming an extension of my body, that's been, to be completely honest, one of the more profound and beautiful experiences I've had as an actor in my life. Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned something that, you know, I personally think, as someone who's blind, that you know, about representing the character,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
accurately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that's been on social media a lot about mm-hmm. how actors, you know, in yourself, you're not completely blind, but you have some vision loss.
Yeah.
So you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot that's been discussed nowadays is having actors with disabilities, you know, represent characters with disabilities.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very mm-hmm. important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I completely agree with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, Jay, you weren't the only one that had to, you know, learn how to use the cane mm-hmm. on the performance. But I know, Anne, you were telling me that, you know, you had to do a lot of background research and
sure.
speak with veterans and to get a better idea.
Yeah. So the playwright, Kathleen Cahill, I came about the play at actually a national new play conference, and I heard it read. And when I met Kathleen, she said she was originally inspired to write it because of a documentary that she saw in 2012 called The Invisible War. Mm-hmm. And that's what led her down this path to want to then interview actual veterans, recent veterans that were in her own area of Salt Lake City, and she specifically really wanted to speak to female veterans, and also she spoke to One of the stories, actually, she met a woman who is transgendered, and there, of course, even though our leaders currently are trying to say that there will not be transgendered mm-hmm. people in the military, we know that that's not true. Yeah. And that there are, and there always have been, and there will continue to be, no matter what anyone says about it. And so one of our characters in the first play is going through that he's just starting to claim a new identity. Sure. In that piece. And it's really beautiful, but she really wanted to tell some stories that aren't often told about veterans.
Sure. So going to the actual details of the play, can you tell us, for people that want to go mm-hmm. and see the play, when is it being
Sure. So we do four shows a week. Mm-hmm. We start next week on January 11th, okay. And we have shows on Thursdays and Friday nights at 7:30.
Sure.
And it's a 90-minute, the whole three pieces, a total of 90 minutes. And we also have Saturday shows, 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, running through February 17th. And we have, of course, a website, 16thstreettheater.org, and a phone number, which I can give as people can call and talk to us at 708-795-6704.
Now, for those that might not know, where is 16th?
Sure, 16th Street Theater is in Berwyn. Mm-hmm. So we are located on 16th Street, which is the same 16th Street, here in, mm-hmm. in Chicago, the wonderful sure. Chicago grid. Mm-hmm. I love the grid. And we are located at Ridgeland, which for people knowing their Chicago streets, pretty much partway between Austin and Harlem. Mm-hmm. We are accessible from the Chicago Blue Line. We are a 1 mile walk. That's how Jay and many of the actors get to our theater. The Austin stop on the Chicago Blue Line. We're just south of that.
Sure. And now I understand that, your theater, it's been around for 10 years.
Yeah. We just had our 10th anniversary.
Wow,
which
congratulations.
Is huge. Thank you. Which huge. Is always such a big deal for a small theater.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
We had lots of, we brought back a lot of plays. We only do new plays at our theater. We just tell the stories. Our mission is to tell the stories of all in our community. Mm-hmm. And this whole season, we're doing a season of heroes. Sure. So we are focusing on stories about veterans, Marines, soldiers, and men and women in uniform, like police officers.
Very important
topics.
For the community to appreciate.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah. And tell the complicated stories and the, for me, theater is all about compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly need more and more of that. More compassion and less narcissism.
Very much so.
In 2018 and beyond, hopefully.
Absolutely. Start off the year right. All right. Well, great. Well, is there anything else either of you would like to add?
I would just like to add, as not only a current employee of 16th Street Theater, but also a fan of this theater, one of the most hotly debated topics in Chicago theater the last several years has been diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And nearly every theater, nearly every artist in the city is addressing it in their own way.
Sure.
But when you look at a theater like 16th Street, they really are an exemplary look at diversity in the arts. It's mm-hmm. it's just amazing how much, not only how diverse this season is, but how diverse the casting is, the writers. It's really incredible. So I would encourage theater goers and theater fans to come check it out if they haven't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what better thing to do now than in this cold weather than go to the theater?
Exactly.
That's all right. We need each other. We need each other's body warmth.
That's it.
That's right. Come get warm and feel something with us.
Exactly.
Well, everyone, that was Ann Filmer and Jay Worthington, who were talking about Harbor Gate, their new play being held at 16th Street Theater here in Chicago. And to you both, best of luck with
Thank
the play.
You.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy,
all your
so much.
Plays, and congratulations on your 10th anniversary.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Sandy.
Well, everyone, this is the Lighthouse Beacon. We'll be right back.
This is Coach Mike Ditka. I'm asking you to support my friends at the Chicago Lighthouse, who are providing critical educational services to children who are blind, visually impaired, or multi-disabled. Through its innovative preschool, Birth to Three, and other cutting-edge programs, the Lighthouse is making a big difference in the lives of these children.
This is Dr. Janet Slick, President and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse. These are exciting times here at the Chicago Lighthouse. The Chicago Lighthouse provides a community of comprehensive care for people who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. To find out how you can help, call 312-997-3675 or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org.
Welcome back to the Beacon. This is Lainey Kleeman and...
And Brian Hawkins coming at you.
Coming at you. You're listening to the Beacon on WCPT 820 AM, or you're listening on a podcast. It depends on what time of day and day of the week you're actually listening.
Well, you know, sometimes the shows are so good, I'm sure people listen to it more than once.
They listen to it on repeat. I'm sure they just loop it right on through the day.
It wasn't too conceited, was it?
No, it was tongue-in-cheek. I got it. Brian, you've got a story over there you want to share with our crew.
Yes. I don't know how many people may have seen it earlier in the week in the paper, but there is a new gene therapy for a rare blindness. And the thing about it, it's kind of controversial. It's a good thing that they were able to perfect this, but it's kind of controversial because the treatment costs about $850,000.
For an individual?
For one individual, yes.
Wow.
It's really a first-of-its-kind genetic treatment for a rare condition. It's a rare genetic mutation that affects just a few thousand people in the U.S. And previously, there's been no treatment for the condition, and it causes complete blindness by adulthood. But it's a shot that replaces a defective gene in the retina tissue at the back of the eye that converts light into electric signals that produce vision. And each shot is $425,000. And of course, if you need two, then you get $850,000 as the price. It's called Luxturna. And Spark Therapeutics, based in Philadelphia, developed this. And they think that it's a one-time treatment, and it treats a very small number of patients, but it does represent a medical breakthrough. And so this is something that's been making a lot of news. And there have been other ultra-rare diseases that require gene therapy, and they're also expensive. They can be priced as little as $373,000 to $475,000. And so that's sort of the controversial thing about it. Some critics are talking about or asking why it has to cost so much. And as far as this particular drug, Luxturna, the company says that the cost is for a lifetime of blindness. If, you know, for a person who is blind, includes lost earnings and caregiver wages, and it can easily exceed $1 million. And not everyone agrees with that argument.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I buy that argument either. That seems like they're just sort of trying to gold dig a little bit.
Well,
I mean, when you have a product that will actually help people, why make it inaccessible to the people that could probably, because, I mean, realistically, statistics show that people who are blind have a higher rate of unemployment there. And, you know, not many people who are blind and visually impaired are going to be able to pull $850,000 out of their pocket unless it becomes insurable.
Yeah, and that's something that the article that I read didn't really address.
I didn't too.
Whether it's something that is covered by insurance.
Hopefully they'll come to terms with that and be able to figure out some sort of solution. And maybe insurance will be able to pick up that price tag, or at least, you know, at least most of it. Because even if insurance picked up some of it, it would still be cost prohibitive for most people, I'm sure. But yeah, if it became something that insurance would cover, then problem solved.
Well, yeah. So yeah, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of that. But
I hope not. You know, it's nice that it's exciting that there's something on the market that can, prevent blindness.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to be hearing more about it.
A new emerging market that I'm sure isn't going away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, Bri. Thanks for bringing that to us.
Yeah, I thought we should...
Very apropos and applicable to our Lighthouse mission.
Mm-hmm. We hadn't had a chance to get anyone on from Spark Therapeutics to talk about this, because the story just happened a couple of days ago. So hopefully we will be able to do that.
Yeah, in the next couple of weeks or months, get somebody on here who can talk about it. I mean, like you said, it's not going anywhere. So as more information becomes available, it would be cool to have somebody on here who could speak specifically to it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break now. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Beacon here on WCPT 820 AM.
I feel like it's all on my shoulders. How am I going to take care of my parents if they develop an eye disease like glaucoma? Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in African Americans and Hispanics in the United States. And what about my kids? Will they inherit it? Not to mention my risk factor. I'm really concerned and I need some answers.
Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for answers, including a free brochure on glaucoma.
Nine major television networks are making some primetime and children's programs more accessible to persons with impaired eyesight. For about 4 hours a week, the networks will be providing video description, an audible narration of a program's key visual elements inserted in natural pauses of the dialogue. The description may be accessed by a television's secondary audio feature, which might be labeled SAP or Spanish, since the feature is sometimes used for a language translation. To learn about described programs shown in your area, contact your cable or satellite television provider or your local ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC station. To learn about your equipment's secondary audio feature, contact the vendor or manufacturer. The Federal Communication Commission's information on video description is available at www.fcc.gov or by calling 1-888-225-5322.
Well, welcome everyone to 2018 and to the Lighthouse Beacon. I am Sandy Murillo.
And I am Brett Shishkoff. You are listening to WCPT 820 AM. I actually have been checking out. Last week I kind of talked about a couple shows that I was watching, and this week I actually was able to watch the newest season of The Ranch.
Sure.
It's a fun show. It's a comedy. It's based in Kansas around this family, two sons, a father and a mother, who are in this small town in Kansas. They're ranchers, and so they're taking care of a ranch. The dynamic between the brothers is interesting. It's Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson are the two who are Colt and Rooster.
Sure.
Those are their nicknames, but that's all you really know them as, is Colt and Rooster. Mm-hmm. And they have a very... they make fun of each other. Let's just put it that way. They give each other a hard time, kind of what brothers always do. Siblings, they have that sibling rivalry a little bit. But it's fun. It's a good season so far. It covers some tougher things, like it, going from the third season to the fourth season. There's a big kind of transition that Colt has to go through with losing a baby that hit this girl that he was with for a brief time was supposed to be having a baby. And so the show itself has covered some more mature content of like, at first, that girl that he was actually with was considering having an abortion, and then she decided to keep it, and so it was about him trying to support her through that, even though he was with another girl that he's loved since he was in high school. They were high school sweethearts, and this other girl was just kind of a hookup that happened. So it's very interesting because it deals with, like, small town... type atmosphere of like everybody knowing your business and how do you handle those situations. And the mother and father of Colt and Rooster, they're divorced, and so both of them are trying to move on from this divorce, and they're dating a little bit. Some of the stuff you watch with the way that they interact with these new people in their lives, you can tell that they're uncomfortable with it. The audio description is great. It's a Netflix show, so they are very detailed, but it's not like overly done. So
sure.
Yeah, it's a show that I've enjoyed. It's in its fourth season. I'm not sure if they're going to go with a fifth season because with all the sexual misconduct stuff that's been going on. Rooster, Danny Masterson's character, he, in real life, has some of that he's been blamed for. So it sounds like they're going to move on from Danny Masterson, which they haven't really determined if they're going to continue with the show or not.
Sure.
Other than that, do you have anything specifically that you want to kind of touch on moving forward?
Well, I'm actually very excited. I don't know about Santa, but I thought that I was good this year, so I got myself a nice Christmas gift, a couple tickets to the audio-described performance of Hamilton.
That is a tough ticket to get. And congratulations on getting one.
Thank you. You know, it's something, like I said, it was around Christmas, so, like, you know, this might be the perfect excuse. I think I've been good enough. And so this will be on January 14th, you know, that I'll be going to. And I'll have to let you know, Brett, you know, I'll have to let everyone know, rather, how it went, you know, because this will be my first time attending an audio-described performance, you know, Broadway in Chicago. So I'm kind of, you know, curious to see how this goes. And
well, if it's anything like the Carol King musical, which is a Broadway in Chicago show, you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Hamilton, but if it's anywhere near as good as Carol King was, you're going to be spoiled. It was hard for me to go back to another theater after going to a Broadway in Chicago show.
Sure.
Because these shows have such a bigger budget.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're able to do a lot more.
Yes.
And so you do have to put that in mind. Like, if you go back to smaller theaters, it's not going to be that same big production, but sometimes people don't really want that big production. They like the smaller stuff. But like I said, it was definitely hard to go from Carol King the musical back to a smaller theater type performance. I did that in a couple days from one another when I went and saw the Sammy Davis play after Carol King. There definitely was a big difference, and had to get my mindset right.
Yeah,
when I went and saw that. So
I'm definitely very, very excited. You know, it's probably a once in a lifetime thing for me, but you know, so I plan on enjoying it as much as I can.
I think that's all we have. I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Murillo.
And you are listening to the Lighthouse Beacon on WCPT, 820 AM.
Hi everyone, this is Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. If your question is, how can someone who is blind enjoy the latest magazine writing and not have to pay a penny? Then the answer is Choice Magazine Listening. Every other month, we'll send you hours of stimulating, unabridged articles, short stories, and poetry from writers such as Russell Baker, Derek Walcott, Joyce Carol Oates, Bill Moyers, and Margaret Atwood. These free special speed cassettes are sent to anyone unable to read because of physical limitations. If you're interested, write today to Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. We'll also tell you how to get the necessary free Library of Congress talking book player. So write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Or call 516-883-8280. That's 516-883-8280. Thank you.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His parents could only hope that one day he would leave the hospital healthy, and they would all live happily ever after. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year. You can help the March of Dimes stop premature birth and bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Well, everybody, it's possible that the temperatures will be lifting a little bit and we'll have some relief from the drudgery of the cold. And that's always nice, so it'll be the perfect setting to sit back right now and relax and listen to The Awe Factor with Lainey Kleeman.
Thank you very much, Brian. So I was going to go with a different story, which I alluded to at the beginning of the show, but this one caught my eye, and it's so much more appropriate and applicable to what we talk about on our show here.
Okay.
It's about a blind couple who weds after their guide dogs fall in love. Oh, isn't that the sweetest thing you've ever heard in your life?
Well, let's hear it.
This actually happened a couple years ago, but it just kind of popped up in my newsfeed, and I jumped on it. This is the story of how man's best friend turned into man and wife. So this is a story of Claire Johnson and Mark Gaffey. They are a blind couple from England who fell in love after their dogs did back in 2012. The couple met when their golden retrievers, Rod and Venice, became inseparable during a two-week guide dog course. So playdates for the pups led to a whirlwind romance for the couple, who tied the knot with their dogs serving as ring bearers in a wedding ceremony in March of 2014. So the bride told The Mirror, which is a newspaper in the UK, I have no doubt that our guide dogs brought us together and helped me find my true love. Much like our two guide dogs, we really are best friends and soulmates. So, and the story ends with, it's the sweetest possible ending to a true puppy love story.
Oh, my.
I know.
So not only will guide dogs help you find transportation and take you down the street, and do all those kinds of things and navigate their way inside buildings, but they'll find you a mate.
They will find you true love.
Right. So, I think Match.com better look out.
You know what? That was what my other story was about, actually. Not Match.com specifically, but internet dating. But this was just a way better story. And
right.
I think the other one was just more like humorous to me because I can, it's my life, right? I can kind of relate to it. But this was just very, very heartwarming. And I believe qualifies for this week's The Awe Factor.
Oh, yes, indeed it does.
Thank you.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, moving right along. Next up, we're going to take a trip, someplace that really only two people should go, and that's in Luke's laboratory, the other person being Juan Suarez.
You need special clearance to get into Luke's laboratory? High-level security clearance?
Well, yeah, that, because you never know what they're cooking up, and they don't want any secrets to get out.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
This is a segment of the program where we talk about everything technology, from hardware, software. What are we talking about this week, Luke?
We've got some exciting stuff that we're going to talk about this week. It's about the Seeing AI app. Are you familiar with that one?
I've heard of it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it came out, I want to say 6 months ago, somewhere around there, and released by Microsoft. And, you know, they're pretty good with their computing. You know, that's what they're all about. And this app was pretty impressive. So the basic idea behind it was a number of different features which would be helpful for a person with a visual impairment, including things like optical character recognition, so you could take a picture of a page and it would read it aloud to you. It had what they call a short text mode, where you could just basically wave your phone camera around in front of some text and it would automatically start reading, so no need to even take a picture, it would just automatically start reading to you. They had a facial recognition, where you could take a picture of a person, you could tell the phone who the person was, and then it would remember who they were and be able to tell you. It could also take a picture of people and guesstimate their age and the expression that they were wearing. I have to say, I don't know if this is just me, but it always seemed to overestimate the age of the men and underestimate the age of the women. So I don't know if that was a deliberate ploy on Microsoft's part. Maybe it's just me. It always told me I was in my mid-40s. I'm only in my mid-30s. I don't know. Maybe I look old. I have no idea. But there you go. And then environmental recognition. And so you could take a picture of a room and it would try to tell you something useful about the room. So it was a really cool app. It is a really cool app. I believe it's still only available on Apple devices, so iPhone in particular, I think. But they just announced an update, and it's pretty incredible. I don't know if I noted that this app is free, so if anybody has any interest in any of these things, then please go and go into the App Store and download it. It's totally free, and it's not difficult to use. Now, some of these new features I'm going to tell you about, there's one in particular which I'm really excited about. So the first new feature is color recognition. You can get apps that do this already, so this isn't necessarily anything groundbreaking, but the nice thing about it, being in Seeing AI, is Microsoft is starting to have this app where it's one app that does everything. So you can clean up your home screen. You can just have one app that you can go to do all of these different things that you might need to do on a daily basis. So color recognition, I've heard it's accurate. I have to admit, I haven't had a chance to try it, but I've heard it's accurate, even possibly more accurate than other contenders on the market. So that's cool. You know, if you want to get dressed in the morning and you want to make sure that your clothes are matching, then that can be a really useful tool. We have currency recognition. So now if you want to know that you're getting the correct change when you go out shopping, you can open up your app and just wave a bill in front of it, and it's going to tell you the denomination of the bill. Again, this has been a thing with different apps for a while, so it's nothing groundbreaking. But again, having it all in the same app, super useful. And, you know, the nice thing about it is, as well, you don't have to learn all these different interfaces. Once you've learned the interface for seeing AI, then you know how to do everything in it. You know what I mean?
And again, so it goes back to what you just said. It also helps you clear up your, you know, your memory on your phone where you're, you don't have to have 20 different apps. It sounds like this thing's doing it's handling so many things.
It's doing a bunch of stuff, and it's doing it well as well, which is even more important. Next new feature, musical light detector. Have you ever used one of these before?
No.
Okay, so let's say you go into a room and you don't know if the lights are on, right? You can basically wave your phone around now, and the higher the pitch of the noise it makes, so it'll beep, and the higher the pitch of the beep, then the brighter it is. So if you put it up next to a light, it'll be like,
oh, you know what? Actually, I have used
those. Okay, yeah, I thought you might have done that. Yeah. And so, you know, that will let you know if the light's on. Or not. So, you know, really useful. Again, you know, you can get all these as standalone devices as well, but the app is free and you have to pay for standalone devices, you know what I mean? So this is super useful.
It's almost worth getting an iPhone.
I would say so, for sure. Okay, this next one is the one that I'm super excited about. Handwriting recognition. All right, check this out. Like, as far as I know, there isn't anything that does this at the moment. And this is something that people really want because, you know, okay, you have OCR and it can take a picture of printed text and read it to you, and that's great. But what if somebody handwrites you a letter, or, you know, it's the holiday season, what if somebody handwrites a card and sends it to you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are you going to do if somebody isn't available to read it to you? Then, you know, you're not going to have any idea what it says. Handwriting recognition, this is incredible. I've used it. I used it a couple of nights ago, did some Christmas cards, and it was surprisingly accurate. Like, I was shocked at how good it was. Now, obviously, this is going to depend somewhat on the quality of the handwriting, you know. So if the handwriting is particularly poor, well, you're not going to get great results. But in general, it seems to be doing a wonderful job, and it's only going to get better from here. So super impressed with that. I'm really happy that that's a feature.
Now, does this app also recognize different objects or different, you know, ordinary everyday objects like a spoon or anything that you might use on your everyday life? You know, maybe trying to recognize where maybe you left your keys.
That is a good question. I don't think that is necessarily one of its strengths, although it can describe images to you. So it could be that you could take a picture of something and it would describe what it is to you. However, I think probably the best type of app for that at the moment is an app like Be My Eyes, where you have sighted volunteers who are actually able to look through your video, you know, the camera on your phone, and describe what they can see to you. That's probably going to get you more accurate results at describing things to you. And there's also a similar app called Bespecular, where you can take pictures and ask what's in the pictures, and sighted volunteers, you know, will send you answers and things like that. So I think possibly at the moment that's the best route for that type of thing. But the artificial intelligence is getting better at recognizing things in pictures all the time. So, you know, I'm sure in the future then sighted volunteers won't even be needed. One more thing that I wanted to bring up is that you don't anymore need to use VoiceOver when you do OCR to read the OCR results to you. So previously you had to turn on VoiceOver after you'd taken a picture, or you could do it before you'd taken a picture, but at some point you had to turn on VoiceOver to have the results read to you. Now, for somebody who's blind, they're going to be using VoiceOver anyway, so that's not really a big deal. But for people who are low vision and might be using their phone through magnification, turning on VoiceOver could be a bit of a difficult thing to do, because it kind of changes the way that your phone works. And so, you know, it wasn't necessarily the best solution. Now you don't even need to do it. There's a TTS voice and it will, you know, do it for you. So all in all, I'm super impressed by Microsoft. They've released this app, and it's been out for a while, and it was already great, and now they've just put in all these new features, which are fantastic. And I would strongly recommend that anybody who has any interest in being more independent and who has an iPhone, go ahead and download this app and see what it can do for them.
I think I'll go shopping this weekend.
There you go.
For Christmas.
There you go. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
That's right. Oh, wow. It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. As per usual, this is Luke's Laboratory here on the Beacon for this Saturday morning, right here on 820 AM WCPT. I'm Juan Suarez, and now it's time for
Customer of the Week. Thought I'd do a bit of a musical one for the holidays there.
All right.
All right. So my customer of the week this week is a lady called Vera, and I went to see her. She lives in a senior living facility, and she was just an absolute riot. Now, she's in her 80s. Hopefully, she won't mind me telling people that. She's in her 80s, and she is just pumped up with her technology. She has got her MacBook on the go. She has got her iPhone on the go. She has got her Android phone on the go. She has got it all on the go. And she's doing online shopping. She's doing research on health and how to eat well and things like that. She gave me some cheese, which was amazing. So that was nice. But anyway, I was just super impressed with her. She's losing her vision due to macular degeneration, but she is not letting it slow her down at all. She actually has started to learn all this technology after she started to lose her vision, and she's getting really good. She's cruising around on the internet. She's got all of her technology adapted to her vision needs, and a very positive person, extremely friendly, and I just thought she was great. So she's my customer of the week.
All right. And for more information and for information on technology and software and hardware that's happening for people who are visually impaired and, of course, people who just need technology in general, how can they get a hold of you?
So you can call me 312-997-3649. That's my direct line. You can email me Luke, L-U-K-E, .Scriven, S-C-R-I-V-E-N, at chicagolighthouse.org. And of course, you can visit our online store, lighthousetoolsforliving.com. And that will take you directly to our online store. And we have a number of different products which are available. If you have questions about them, of course, you can call me. And it's also worth checking out our YouTube channel if you haven't already. And if you go to YouTube and type in Shy Lighthouse, C-H-I Lighthouse, all one word, and if you do a search for that, then our channel should be the first thing to pop up. And in the channel there, we have a bunch of different assistive technology videos which cover all types of different technology and give demonstrations and talk about their features and things like that.
All right. And, wow, that's pretty exciting. So this week's feature, again, was the Seeing AI app, and it's available through Microsoft?
So you want to go on your iPhone to the App Store, and just type in, do a search for Seeing AI, and it'll be the first search result that you get. Now, you can also download it on the iPad. However, it is optimized for the iPhone, from what I understand. So, but it does work on the iPad because I've tried it. So,
all right, that does it for this week's edition of Luke's Laboratory, right here on The Beacon. I'm Juan Suarez, right here on WCPT, 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul, Computer Information Systems, and a master's in Business Information Technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
That's going to do it for show of 2018 in the bag. Mm-hmm. Do you have any resolutions? Do you do resolutions?
No, I don't have any. I think I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants.
Hey, why not? It's worked so far for you. Well, thank you very much for tuning in. I hope your resolution is to keep listening each and every week to The Beacon. Lainey Kleeman and Brian Hawkins here bringing it to you each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, as always, for tuning in and listening to us. Many thanks to our contributors to the show, Brett Shishkoff and Sandy Murillo, who always brings us just wonderful interviews each and every week. Many thanks to Janet Slick, our president and CEO, who keeps us here each and every week and supports everything that we do. So have a safe and warm week, and we will see you same time, same place next week.